Hello everybody, this is Victor here from Trend Following Trading for Beginners, and here's my weekly update on my Sambo trading portfolio, coming up next. Hello guys, welcome to my podcast, another week gone by, and happy Easter for everybody. Basically for last week, it's only like 4 trading days in US and UK anyway, and there's not much going on with Dow Jones. It's up 100 points and down 100 points and then down again, and we recovered by itself for another 200 points. So overall, with only 4 days trading, so much happening. It's just like up and down, relatively similar to about a month ago. Just going to be sideways and very quiet. But on the other hand, there was quite a bit of other activities going on. In UK, we have Deliveroo, and basically a delivery service that gone for rotation in UK in the London Stock Exchange. And initially, it was talked about, you know, quite about £4.10 or £4.50 or something area, and then it actually floated. It's on a low price range of 390p, and it collapsed down to like ended the first day on Wednesday trading at around 302 pennies, so it dropped like 22-23%. For me, basically, this one is quite significant. First of all, I'm quite surprised Deliveroo can still, you know, get to the bottom of the range and floated, because Deliveroo is, you know, coming out of the market when the basically general economy is not great, and they're still able to float. It's good. Yes, it's down by 23% or so. That means that the price is still too high, but I think overall at least there's some appetite in UK market to absorb a new share flotation, that kind of thing. We just have to wait and see on that one. However, Deliveroo, for me personally, I use it a lot in UK. I initially saw something similar like this when I worked in Bulgaria back in 2005. People just called out to get things to get delivered, and people pay a little delivery price for it. So now it's coming to, it's all around the world now. UK is not no difference. The delivery model, as far as I'm concerned, is they might have made quite a bit of comeback, so to speak, last year due to the pandemic, and still going on at the moment because people are locked down and stuck in their own house and not able to get out and get food, and also got the health and safety concern, that kind of thing, because of COVID-19. So Deliveroo sort of make a bit of money this time, but still, as far as I'm concerned, is the model is burning money basically. And Uber Eats also comes into play. Uber, the taxi driver service in UK, also deliver food. So I think overall that model is a bit what I call going to burn money. And that's why one of the reasons I didn't go into that buying of that share at all. Apparently you can buy the shares if you are a customer of Deliveroo, but I didn't even offer that at all. But I just feel that this segment, working segment of people who basically work in like Uber or very no fixed term contract or zero date contract kind of thing in UK. As far as I'm concerned, this is going to be all those companies who offer the CRA will have to offer like holiday pay and pensions and sick pay over time. Uber drivers already won that, so Deliveroo probably over time will have to spend a lot more money on the people doing delivery, and I think it might go to hike into its business model or the profit margin and so forth. So I'm not quite sure how they might go forward, but at least it's floated and use some of the money to expand its service and also pay down its debts. But personally, I'm not a fan on this Deliveroo share rotation, I told myself. But it does give a bit of uplift in the UK market. At least it's floated. It's down but 23%. Then, of course, we have basically last Friday, we have some another collapse of investment funds. It's called Archegos Capital Investment. Basically, it's run by some Japanese investor firm or family firm, whatever they call it. And they suffer a huge margin calls, and then the banks that supported these funds basically have to forced to liquidate. So a lot of movement last Friday on Viacom's and Baidu, Tencent, and other things have gone down a lot. But some companies seem to have, some of the banks seem to come out unscathed or change very little. But again, when you look at the charts of those banks and stuff that is, you know, generally reported in the news media and also on the internet, some seems to be do better than others and have get out a bit earlier. But Credit Suisse, the Swiss bank company, seems to be the ones in the firing line. It have lent quite a lot of money to this Archegos investment funds and lost quite a bit of money. And even before early in March, the price chart has already gone below 2 ATR lines, and it was because they also have a bit of a issue of involvement with the collapse of Greensill Capital early in March and dragged the price down. Sort of like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, for the banking industry, I think Credit Suisse seems to be a bit of a problematic with its own internal risk safety things, not doing checks and not doing too well. And this is what's actually showing up as well. And also, when you look at those charts that, you know, Firecard and Baidu and things that have been involved, you know, this debacle, the chart again shows us, you know, both hands that somebody already know about a situation, already start selling, and then basically the 2 ATR system catching all. But unfortunately, I think one thing that really, I mean, useful to look at in this example is trend following. Yeah, like I said before, some people were already show their hands beforehand, and trend following can catch those well before the news actually shows up in the financial news to say, you know, actually reported there was issue. So this, again, just give me a good feeling of why I'm trying trend following. You know, we enforce that thinking, because the price will always tell things, you know. But yes, some shares actually did a cliff fall and didn't show his hand beforehand, but that's far and far been true. But also on that sense that trend following is not great for everything. It's not going to be, you know, able to cover air or if you're trapped and stuff. Sometimes it does, you know, fall off a cliff because there's some sudden news are coming out, and some shares do, you know, suddenly just dropped and well passing a couple of signals and so forth. And this is the other reason about trend following, is that on the flip side of it, sometimes you don't catch the actual trend, and it's because some big event happens and forces the price and it jumps through the hoop, so to speak, and break a lot of all your signals on the reverse side. And this is the time to stick with your systems and take a long-term view, because over time you will, if you trade long enough, no, I'm not talking about 1 year, 2 years, I'm talking about 5 years, maybe 10 years, you will see some of those happens. Maybe, you know, once every 2-3 years something, suddenly, you know, share going nicely, like Firecom suddenly come straight down and you don't know what happened until much later on. And all you have is just share price gone down 20-30% and well past all your stop losses and stuff. And some people hold on to it. And as far as I'm concerned, trend following, as you say, the price have changed and have changed sign. The system say go reverse and just go reverse. Sometimes you just have to take this on the chin. But because of the you do trading in a long term way, and things will get better over time. You know, you catch some of those profit back again. This is the whole idea. I think all those people out there talking about holy grail, you know, find the systems and that'll be just use that system forever. It'll be, you know, money is in all the time. No. All systems are built on certain theories, certain people's experience, and built on that, they're all full of holes. So sometimes it works, sometimes it does not work. For the financial industry, it seems to like jump between systems to show you can always make money, like banks and kind of things like that. Well, first of all, we tell investors we're not banks because we just how we are. Secondly, we don't have such a big deep pocket and use other people's money to trade. But for us, with our own money, hard-earned money, trend following seems is the better way for me anyway to trade. And if you stick it long term enough, you see your money basically grows slowly and over time and get much better. But interesting question on those who is sitting on the other side of this Friday collapse on Archegos financial issues here? What is actually triggering it? Nobody seems to be able to say something, but I may offer my view. It could be well be because last year there's a lot of what you call the Nasdaq, the technology companies gone up quite, you know, many folds, like Tesla 700 times. For this year, we will not continue. People, some funds probably have bet heavily, very, very heavily on technology, and they actually come down. It caused quite a bit of a stir this year, because they overreached so much. They make lots of money last year, but this year, because the spread, too much exposure, too much risk, and when the market sort of turn or just the music sort of slows a bit, so to speak, and they just get beaten on the backside, and then they call a lot of margin calls and liquidation falls to happen. And I just think that's what's happening. And secondly, also the 10 years and 30 years US dollar, US Treasury, the yield have gone down quite a bit, and then jump back up again. I think that up and down, because people are using, especially big banks, use margin from other banks and so forth, they suffer margin calls. And basically being forced to be liquidated, they don't come up with the money, that kind of thing. And I think there's quite a bit of the people was betting the Treasury yield would continue to go up, but it didn't, and it caused a bit of an issue as well. And also this, we sort of see it this week, gold as well got liquidated a few days after the last Friday. I think Wednesday 31st of March. And gold price actually went down, and now it's created like a double bottom. The second leg down, which around 1677 somewhere, but it's not as low as 1676 or 75 last about a month or 3 weeks or so ago. And so now it's, the recovery continue, we probably see a W bottom. And it sort of show a signal as well last time, and also with the dollar index actually recovered and gone to 93.5, 93.7 early in the week. The price of gold didn't go below 1700. Okay, we have this debacle where it actually goes and suddenly dropped on Wednesday 31st, but it is still above the last low, which is 1676, and the lows on the 31st on Wednesday was 1677. So even with all this bullishness that's against gold, the gold didn't actually go down much further and actually create a double bottom, so to speak. And also the MACD is showing sort of like a bullish divergence as well. I think gold is definitely got something to look out for. I'm not predicting anything, but basically the road signs are there, and gold seems to be having a bit of probably push later on to increase its price. So we'll just wait and see. But of course, last but not least, we also have President Joe Biden in U.S. Proposed a $3 trillion U.S. dollars infrastructure spending project kind of things, and restart economies and so forth. That if it comes to fruition, then that means another $3 trillions of that $1.9 trillion just being passed out to U.S. Citizens. And really got to have a case for large weakness of the U.S. dollar. But at the moment, it's all in the works, so to speak. The $3 trillions may not get passed. The Senate and House so far, we just wait and see what happens then. So basically, just have to see what happens next. Okay, next, let's look at my trend following sample portfolio and see how it goes last week. Okay, first off the bat is Apple. Same as last week, short term is a buy, medium is neutral, long term is neutral. Next is Amazon. Again, same as last week. A lot must change overall, I think, this week as overall message. For Amazon, is short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, but long term has changed to neutral as well now. So it's have sort of crawled back some of the prices over the week. Australian dollars next against US dollars. Short term is a sell, medium term is sell. Long term is neutral. I said before, the US dollar index have gone back above 93. I think at one stage gone up to 93.7 or something. But Australian dollar didn't actually go, weaken too much. It's still around the 70.76, 175 area. So overall, we just have to wait and see. I think the overall message is when the US dollar sort of index recovered, a lot of other currencies don't seem to have, suddenly fallen value a lot. And so it's just show you the underlying trend that doesn't matter what US dollar is doing, each of the other countries' currencies seems to have some sort of baseline established. It's just refused to go down big very quickly, a bit unlike gold, the kind of thing. So I think Australian dollar against US dollar sort of show that itself. Next is Brent crude. Short terms of sell, medium terms neutral, long terms of buy. This is same as WTI. Short terms of sell, medium terms neutral, long terms of buy. So Brent crude overall, short term, yeah, it's really a sell. It's going sideways at the moment. It took quite a while for it to, you know, slowly try to actually going back up to the $65, accounting of $78 kind of area. Took quite a bit of time, but then slowly it come back down now a little bit, but it's just gone sideways a little bit. So we just wait and see what happens. Probably would take, you know, crude oil probably take some time to change direction again, because it took quite a bit of time to go up. I think quite a bit of time to consolidate before it actually shows what it's doing. At the moment, it's more like a little consolidation sideways trade for now. Next is DAX. To continue to buy, same as last week, short term, medium and long term still continue to go up. Dow Jones is the same, short term, medium and long term still buy. So both DAX and Dow Jones seems to on a buy trend at the moment, uptrend at the moment. FTSE 100 in UK, short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is a buy. No change from last week there. Gold, short term is a sell, medium term is neutral, short term is a long term is sell as well. So like I said before, gold seems to be, I mean, from the signal point of view, from the trading point of view, it seems to have same as last week, haven't actually changed. Still, short terms of sell, long terms of sell, medium sort of neutral. But I think it's slowly showing some sign of it is doing something, you know, slightly differently. We have seen a sort of a double bottom formation. The second bottom didn't go lower than the first bottom, and you look at that with the MACD histogram as well. It is MACD is having a lower high. For the second downward move back in last Wednesday, I believe, and this sort of set up a bullish divergence. Now there might be still a chance for gold to, you know, bobbling around in the bottom 1770, 1776 area, that kind of things again a couple of times. But if the bearish the bullish divergence continue with the MACD, I think gold definitely is something to watch out for. It will just shoot up, and if that happens and break above, I think 1750, then that is the rim of the double bottom shape. And if that happens, then I think we're looking at, you know, 1800, maybe more for gold. But this is just like predicting, which I'm not really into, but the road sign actually showing what's happening. And the signal basically said at the moment it's a sell, but the signal is a road sign saying get gold probably poised to move up, so watch out for gold. Next is Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong. Short term is a sell, medium is neutral, long term is also neutral. Again, this is sort of showing some sign of recovering following Dow Jones. Next is NASDAQ. Short term is a buy, medium term is neutral, long term is also buy. So technology share seems to have recovered a little bit, but not as much as like Dow Jones continue making new high and so forth, but we'll just have to wait and see. Next is Nikkei from Japan. Short term is a buy, medium is neutral, long term is also a buy, so similar to NASDAQ. Next is silver. Short term is a sell, medium long term is neutral. Unlike gold, silver seems still a bit of a downward movement, and we just have to wait and see what it does next. But as usual, it's always lag behind gold. So I think we should all watch out silver as well. With gold to make a move breaking up, going up, silver probably follows a bit later, but it always does. So we just have to wait and see. Okay. Next is US dollar against Chinese yuan. Chinese dollar, short term is a buy, medium is a buy, long term is neutral. So this recovery, so to speak, of US dollar strength against the Chinese dollar continue to recover. And we just have to wait and see how much recovery is going on. But overall, I think the US dollars over time, maybe if the Joe Biden $3 trillion infrastructure chain project proposal actually come to fruition, US dollars just go be across the board, will be weakening, not against just Chinese dollar, but across a range of commodities and foreign exchange and gold and silver, that kind of thing. So I think second half of this year, definitely something to watch out for. Maybe more interesting if the Joe Biden's got his way, then sent out as $3 trillion of infrastructure bills across and become law, then there will be quite a bit of movement within. Of course, U.S. will, you know, have a lot more building work going on, and you know, we start the economy, which is great. But then on the other hand, it's who's going to pay for it. It's always going to borrow from other countries, who's going to, you know, buy the treasury bills or something. And that definitely will weaken the U.S. dollar. So second half of the year, we'll probably see a lot more of actual how people feel about the U.S. dollars. Next is British pound against Japanese yen. Short term, medium and long term, still a buy, no change from last week. And after that is British pound against U.S. dollar. Short term is a sell, medium and long term is neutral. So U.S. dollars against British pound, of course, the U.S. dollars index seems to have gone better, recover. So for British pound against U.S. dollars, continue to sell more from last week. But for against British pound against Japanese yen, it's still on a upward trajectory. Next is Bitcoin. Short term, medium and long term is a buy. I said last week, it's still having an issue trying to break above this 60,000 marks. It's hovering around 57,000, 56,000 and 60,000 marks. So we just continue just sideways trade, but it's still a buy as far as the trend for the system is concerned. Next is TLT ETF, the iShares 20 TLT ETF. Short term is a buy, medium and long term is a sell. So this one is sort of showing the U.S. Treasury bonds have recovered a little, and obviously the yield actually gone down a bit, but seems to have come back down again now. So basically, the yield seems to have U.S. Treasury yield is going up and down. What I mean here is when U.S. Treasury yield is actually going up, I mean the price of the U.S. Treasury is actually gone down. So we just have to all watch out. Does it, the word on the street is the 10 years U.S. Treasury bill may go to 2% or something, and 30 years may go to 3%. Just have to wait and see how things go, but TLT ETF definitely best way to track it. Next is Tesla. Short term is a buy, medium and long term is neutral. Tesla haven't changed much for the last couple of weeks. Its short term is slowly recovering, but it's still way away from its peak from last year. Next is Australian Index XJO. Short term is a sell, medium is neutral, long term is a buy. So on this one, similar to last week, just sideways trade, not doing much headway at the moment. Last but not least is Alibaba. Short term is a sell, medium is neutral, long term is a sell. So this one, similar to any technology share, it's not as good as Tesla, haven't really recovered much yet. It's still on in the doghouse, so to speak. But we just have to wait and see the regulation in China basically really hurting it. And the new regulation is not in favor of Alibaba. I think Alibaba is a strong company, probably still have, you know, legs, but as far as the transfer system is concerned, it's a sell. I said many times before, we don't trade emotion, we trade with system, we trade mathematics, we trade with a method. And this is a good reason about using trend following, is basically we take away all the news, we take away all the emotions, we just follow a system, mathematical base based on end of day price, and we don't have to worry about why the share price gone this or what the Chinese government does or US government does, and if the price actually gone down or up. And when we plug into our equation says sell at the end or buy at the end, that's all we follow. So this is one of the reasons, the main reason for me really is I like trend following. I just don't want all this emotional baggage, because how do you second guess how the market is doing? As far as I'm concerned, the market is like a bowl of sardine. Each one of us is a little sardine fish, and together we sort of form a community, a board that have its own thinking, you know, movement and way to will to move. And so for an individual sardine to think of how the overall movement of the sardine fish ball is going to move is very difficult to guess. And you might have got guess it right once or twice, but for long term, all the time guessing, you know, where the actual ball is, even though you're right inside this board of sardines, it's going to be very, very difficult and hard to come by. So same thing about trend following. For us to guess what the overall market, you know, forces, you know, all retail investors, professional traders, you know, governments, you know, government policies around the world to second guess economic policies and how the market will, you know, will take the information and show something share prices or index or more commodity prices is very difficult to do. So for me, to a trend following, the good thing is just take away that emotion, just follow the price. The price tell us exactly what we need to do using my formula, and we basically followed our system, and that's the end of the day what trend following is about. I hope you found this podcast useful, and I will talk to you next week. Bye for now and stay safe. We'll be right back.